On April the 1st, 1924, I began to serve my sentence of imprisonment in the fortress of Landsberg am Lech, following the judgment of the Munich People's Court of that time. After years of uninterrupted labour, it was now possible for the first time to begin a work which many had asked for, and which I myself felt would be beneficial for the movement. So I decided to dedicate 2 volumes to a description not only of the aims of our movement, but also of its development. There is more to be learned from this than from any purely dogmatic dissertation. This has also given me the opportunity of describing my own development, insofar as such a description is necessary to the understanding of the first as well as the second volume, and to destroy the legendary fabrications which the Jewish press have circulated about me. In this work, I turn not to strangers, but to those followers of the movement whose hearts belong to it and who wish to study it more profoundly. I know that fewer people are won over by the written word than by the spoken word, and that every great movement on this earth owes its growth to great speakers and not to great writers. Nevertheless, in order to produce more equality and uniformity in the defence of any doctrine, its fundamental principles must be committed to writing. May these 2 volumes, therefore, serve as the building stones which I contribute to the joint work. At 12:30 in the afternoon of November the 9th, 1923, those whose names are given below fell in front of the Feldherrnhalle in the forecourt of the former war ministry in Munich, for their loyal faith in the resurrection of their people. Felix Alfat, merchant, born July 5, 1901. Andreas Bauriedel, hatmaker, born May 4, 1879. Theodor Casella, bank official, born August 8, 1900. Wilhelm Ehrlich, bank official, born August 19, 1894. Martin Faust, bank official, born January 27, 1901. Anton Hechenberger, locksmith, born September 28, 1902. Oskar Kerner, merchant, born January 4, 1875. Karl Kuhn, head waiter, born July 25, 1897. Karl Laforce, student of engineering, born October 28, 1904. Kurt Neubauer, waiter, born March 27, 1899. Klaus von Papa, merchant, born August 16, 1904. Theodor von der Pforten, counsellor to the Superior Provincial Court, born May 14, 1873. Johann Rickmers, retired cavalry captain, born May 7, 1881. Max Erwin von Schreudner-Richter, doctor of engineering, born January 9, 1884. Lorenz Ritter von Stransky, engineer, born March 14, 1899. Wilhelm Wolf, merchant, born October 19, 1898. So-called national officials refused to allow the dead heroes a common burial. So I dedicate the first volume of this work to them as a common memorial, that the memory of those martyrs may be a permanent source of light for the followers of our movement.
File 2.
Volume 1. Retrospect. Chapter 1. In the home of my parents. It has turned out fortunate for me today that destiny appointed Braunau on the Inn to be my birthplace, for that little town is situated just on the frontier between those two states, the reunion of which seems, at least to us of the younger generation, a task to which we should devote our lives, and in the pursuit of which every possible means should be employed. German Austria must be restored to the great German motherland, and not indeed on any grounds of economic calculation whatsoever. No, no. Even if the Union were a matter of economic indifference, and even if it were to be disadvantageous from the economic standpoint, still it ought to take place. People of the same blood should be in the same Reich. The German people will have no right to engage in a colonial policy until they shall have brought all their children together in one state. When the territory of the Reich embraces all the Germans and finds itself unable to assure them a livelihood, only then can the moral right arise from the need of the people to acquire foreign territory. The plough is then the sword, and the tears of war will produce the daily bread for the generations to come. And so this little frontier town appeared to me as the symbol of a great task. But in another regard also, it points to a lesson that is applicable to our day. Over 100 years ago, this sequestered spot was the scene of a tragic calamity which affected the whole German nation and will be remembered for ever, at least in the annals of German history. At the time of our fatherland's deepest humiliation, a bookseller, Johannes Palm, uncompromising nationalist and enemy of the French, was put to death here because he had the misfortune to have loved Germany well. He obstinately refused to disclose the names of his associates, or rather the principals who were chiefly responsible for the affair. Just as it happened with Leo Schlageter, the former, like the latter, was denounced to the French by a government agent. It was a director of police from Augsburg who won an ignoble renown on that occasion and set the example which was to be copied at a later date by the neo-German officials of the Reich under Herr Severing's regime. In this little town on the Inn, haloed by the memory of a German martyr, a town that was Bavarian by blood, but under the rule of the Austrian state, my parents were domiciled towards the end of the last century. My father was a civil servant who fulfilled his duties very conscientiously. My mother looked after the household and lovingly devoted herself to the care of her children. From that period, I have not retained very much in my memory, because after a few years my father had to leave that frontier town which I had